Anyone would think it was Easter. Good morning. Happy Easter to you all. So I'm going to start by telling a story that I told at the 8 o'clock, which is a real Easter, well, for me, a real Easter resurrection story. So every morning I look at the BBC website, really to see what's going on in the news and what we need to be praying for. And I came across this news item where it told me that last week a bunch of builders, contractors, were working at an old ancient church near Lambeth Palace, where the Archbishop of Canterbury resides. It's called St. Mary at Lambeth. It's an 11th century church which was decommissioned or deconsecrated in 1972. And it's now a museum, and so some of the contractors were doing some work in the museum and around the grounds. And of course, as it's London, every contractor has to have an archaeologist on hand. And they happened to lift a stone flag in the outside of the church and discovered a hole. So they got a cell phone camera and they put it on the end of a pole and they put the pole down into the hole and took a picture. And they discovered in the hole an actual tomb with 30 coffins in it. So the first thing they did is they called for a priest. And the priest comes along, the dean of the cathedral, and he comes around and he thought something had gone wrong with the contracting. And he looked in and he looked down and they noticed that five of the coffins were of previous archbishops of Canterbury. The church, St. Mary at Lambeth, was founded in the 11th century by the sister of St. Edward the Confessor. One of the coffins of the archbishop was that of Richard Bancroft. You probably haven't heard of him. He was archbishop from 1604 to 1610. He was the chief architect of the King James Bible. He was the one put in charge of all the translators, and he was the one who saw the King James Bible come into production, in publication, in 1611. I call that a resurrection story. So, all to say is the next time you're in a restaurant or a cafe or a coffee house somewhere, you can use that story to impress people. And then you can invite them to come to church and say, this is where I heard that story. Right? That's called evangelism. Good to see you all on this Easter day, and it's a lovely Easter day. The sun is shining. Any of you were awake first thing, the sunrise was absolutely stunning. Everything you need for this service is in the bulletin that you were given as you came through the doors. We have hymns. There will be communion. If you are visiting this church and you've never had communion before or you're not sure what to do, please don't be anxious about it. Just come up to the altar rail and we'll take care of everything for you. This is not my table. It's not my altar rail. It's that belongs to God. And God welcomes everyone to this table and to this altar rail. And just come and join each other for fellowship after service, if you so choose, before you go off and enjoy your full Easter day. Let's now stand and begin our service by singing hymn 207. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Glory is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, who for our redemption gave your only begotten Son to the death of the cross, and by his glorious resurrection delivered us from the power of our enemy, grant us so to die daily to sin, that we may evermore live with him in the joy of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first lesson is from the Acts to the Apostles. Peter began to speak to the Gentiles. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
This is a reading from Colossians. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went to the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Then she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
I'm going to invite any young folks to come and gather around. I know there are some. Oh. Yeah, this step gets lower and lower every Sunday. One of the things that I'm not very good at is gardening. I can mow a lawn, but that's about the end of it. So anything that I'm given to grow doesn't really do very well. Well, as some of you may know who've been into my study at the church, for about a year now, and I've got to be careful I don't get this all over my vestments, otherwise the altar guild will be on me, I've had this green plant. And about the only thing that's consistent about this green plant is that it's been dying steadily for the last several months. And it virtually gave up the ghost somewhere around about January. And all the roots had rotted, and it was an absolute mess. And Michelle, you know Michelle who's in the office, right? She said, "You really need to sort of just bury that and go get another one." And I said, "I don't want to do that." because it had got to about that size, you know, just about the thumbnail, and there was no root at all. And I said, you know what, I don't want to give up on it. I really don't want to give up on it. So I got a bit more topsoil. I have no idea what that does, but somebody had said, you know, maybe it might do something miraculous. So I got some topsoil, and I put some topsoil on it, and I put the thing in whatever it was, you know, whatever bit of root. I put it in there, you see, and I have some of these green sticks that somebody said, if you put it in the soil, it'll do something magical. Right, so I put one of those in, and then someone suggested that it really is helpful to water it. Nobody tells you these things. So I watered it, and I just put it on my window ledge and waited. And look at it now. Look at it now. I have done virtually nothing to it, and yet there's new shoots, and you can see, if you look right in there, there's new shoots coming up right in the middle. And I've got to the stage now where this is a lovely rose that I was given some years ago, or about a couple of years ago, that, you know, I thought, well, that will just help it, give it some support. And then a couple of days ago, I was looking around my desk and noticed that I had an old palm cross. I thought, well, I'll put that in there, and that give it a bit of support. And just look at it. Look how it's beginning to grow. All that fresh growth. And I don't know, I was just looking at that, and I was thinking, that's what resurrection's all about. You know, we think about resurrection sometimes solely just in terms of Jesus and what happens at Easter. But God is making resurrection moments all the time, and often we don't know it's even happening until it happens. Now, you may have well noticed, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to all those big kids out there, because they don't listen to it either, you see. And I think that's a wonderful metaphor of resurrection. Things that happen in our lives when we don't even know about it. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? And then, that wasn't enough, so I get Easter eggs, right? I thought, I'll just give you some Easter eggs. And I look at the little jar, and out of nowhere, all these sticks appear. And I didn't put them there. And I don't know where they came from. But all I can say is, I bet they weren't for me. So I hope there's enough. 1, 2, 3, 4. Don't move. I can't count when you move. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We've got here. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Doesn't that rot your socks? Okay, so we're going to be careful here. So there's an egg for each of you, and whatever. What, I don't know what these things are. Be brave. It's a resurrection moment, right? Is there enough? Is there enough to go around? There we go. There you go. All right. Now hang on. There's a couple of things down there. All right. Have you all got one of these? Okay. You all got one? You all good? Right? Are we done? Any more for any more? You good? You get one of those? Did you get one of these? No. There you are. Don't be left out. Thank you, Thomas. Turn around and look the other way a minute. Neat, isn't it? What? It is. It is. It's neat. I think I need to give it a name. Maybe we'll have a competition to name it. Some of you may remember, way back in 1979, there was a film came out, a movie came out called Being There. It starred Peter Sellers. It was the second to last film he ever appeared in before he died far too young. He played the main character, a man called Chauncey Gardner, a simple-minded,
illiterate gardener of a wealthy millionaire in Washington, D.C. The film is a black comedy that satirizes politics and modern society. When his millionaire benefactor dies, Chauncey finds himself cast out of the house into the streets of Washington, D.C., with nothing but the clothes he stands up in and a battered old suitcase. By a series of circumstances, he finds himself adopted by the wife of a dying wealthy industrialist with close connections to the president and the centers of power in the Washington establishment. Chauncey's simple-headed pronouncements impress everyone. Often using gardening imagery, Chauncey is considered by everyone to be deeply insightful. Asked his thoughts on a talk show on television on the economy, Chauncey replies enigmatically, "First comes spring and summer, but then we have fall and winter, and then we get spring and summer again," which is immediately interpreted by the elites of the establishment as a statement of the natural rhythms of the market economy. The movie ends just as enigmatically as it began, with Chauncey Gardner walking on water across a lake, leaving us, the viewers, struggling to make sense of this fable. Throughout this Holy Week, I found myself thinking about the enigmatic Chauncey Gardner in the film Being There. On Palm Sunday, last Palm Sunday, the eve of Holy Week, the BBC released the results of a survey carried out in Britain on belief in the resurrection of Jesus. It found that almost half the people polled did not believe in the resurrection. And that included professed Christians who attend church on a regular basis. Yet, almost half of those questioned believed in some form of life after death. Which, I thought, probably explains, or goes to explain, why churches are so full on Easter Day. Many people, reasonably so, legitimately so, struggling to make sense of what Easter is all about. But the other reason I thought of Chauncey Gardner is that the Easter story revolves around gardens. And gardens are very much a metaphor of birth, life, death, a new birth. Resurrection moments are happening all the time in this garden we call life. It may not have occurred to you, but gardens figure prominently in the Bible. Think of the Garden of Eden, the first story in the Bible, the birthplace of all creation. Gardens are places associated with peace and tranquility, growth and rebirth. The Easter story revolves around gardens. The passion of Jesus begins and ends in a garden. After the Last Supper, Jesus takes his disciples to a favorite place set aside away from the crowds, a place in which to be still, a place in which to pray. We all have these places places we go to when we need to be alone, to think things out, to commune with nature, to commune with God. St. Matthew gives the place a name, the Garden of Gethsemane, and tells us that there Jesus prayed. But into this garden of peace, the combined forces of the state and religion came to arrest Jesus. They had decided that Jesus, a man of peace, forgiveness, and healing, was dangerous. He unsettled the status quo. So these forces of the world came to arrest Jesus at night, in secret, in force, and with no justifiable argument to support them. They did violence to Jesus. They did violence to their own beliefs. They did violence to God. Twice, Jesus is put on trial. The first trial takes place at night in front of the religious authorities. It's a kangaroo court of a kind, with no authority whatever. And having arrived at the conclusion that their trial has no legal standing, the religious authorities send Jesus to the provincial governor, presumably in the hope that Pilate will prosecute Jesus for civil unrest. Instead, Pilate gives in to the mob, and they choose a thief named Barabbas in place of Jesus, leaving Jesus to be led away, to be tortured, and then crucified. At every stage, the passion narratives in the Gospels relate one long catalogue of human dysfunction. Jesus is ridiculed and abused. The disciples run away. Even the two bandits crucified with Jesus mock him. Yet through this act of inhuman humiliation, Jesus will reconcile us to God through the resurrection. What I have just related is the story of Holy Week. And Passion Week ends where it began, in a garden. Not the Garden of Gethsemane, a place of peace and tranquility disturbed by violence, but another garden. A garden wherein lies a new tomb. Here, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus make their reappearance in the Gospels, secret disciples of Jesus, giving his broken body the last rites. And now, on this Easter morning, we return to this garden where Jesus' body has lain since Good Friday, and we find the tomb empty. Mary Magdalene, one of the followers of Jesus, goes to the tomb alone and finds it empty. Thinking that Jesus' body has been stolen, she reports it to the disciples. Peter and another disciple return to the tomb with Mary, confirming what she's just said. The body of Jesus is missing. And the men go home. But Mary remains and sees two angels who ask her why she weeps. She turns around and sees an unknown man in the garden. She thinks he is a gardener and asks if he is the one who disturbed the grave. Unknown, the gardener calls her name, and Mary instantly recognizes him as Jesus. And from this moment on, a whole new future is opened up for Mary, and for the disciples, and for all of creation. A future that none of us could possibly remotely conceive. Do you believe that story? Do you believe in the resurrection? Or in life after death? It's a sensible question. It may interest you to know that even the Gospels don't agree on the resurrection. They can't make their minds up what it means. Every resurrection appearance is different. And there was a time in the Hebrew Scriptures when they certainly didn't believe in it at all. Or in life after death. Read the Psalms. Read the Psalms. So do you believe in the resurrection? Or is the story of the resurrection of Jesus like the movie Being There? An enigmatic fable that leaves us struggling to make sense of it all. Does Chauncey the gardener really walk on water at the end of the movie? Or is it simply a trick of the camera? Was Jesus really the first to be raised from the dead? Or was it an image of the mind that Mary Magdalene conceived? The resurrection is not something you can prove, but it is something you can believe in. It is something you can experience. It is something that brings people like you and me to church every Easter. That's resurrection. That's resurrection. This past week, I learned that an old school friend had died. Died on Monday from a massive heart attack. David Shepherd, what a great name. I was sharing with Ray Lane, he used to call me Case Knit when I was a kid at school. No idea why, but suddenly I became Case Knit. And that's what I was always called. And whenever I'd go and visit my sister or my mother, his shop, he took over his shop from his dad. His dad started the shop. It was a sweet shop, but I changed it in the sermon because I thought you'd never know what a sweet shop is. It's a candy shop. It's a store. I'm sorry, I've just been corrected again. It's a candy store. Sweet shop for me, candy store for you. But you get the picture. His dad started it in 1932, 33, something like that. And then when Dave left school at 16, like me, he joined the Royal Air Force for a few years. And then when he came out of the Royal Air Force, he took over his dad's shop. And there he remained until he died this past week. I used to look forward to popping into his shop when I visited my mother and my sister, and he'd bring me up to date with all the news of my old school chums. His passing saddens me. But what amazed me, and it was my sister who put me onto this, she sent me an email to tell me that David had died, and she says, you've got to go on the Facebook site for Old North Hull. Now, Facebook is one of those God-given gifts that test our patience. You either hate it, love it, or do both at the same time. I can never understand it. I sit and pore over it thinking, you know, they keep changing everything. Every day they'll change something. And I haven't even mastered what they did 5 years ago. Anyway, I do know the site of Old North Hull, and I went on, and there was, I don't know how many, I'd be inclined to say hundreds of tributes to this shopkeeper called Dave Shepherd. When you have a shop in a place that long, it becomes a center of community. People pop into it day by day, and everybody gets to know everybody else. And everybody knew Dave Shepherd, and Dave Shepherd always has a nice word to say to everybody. But what really amazed me in the countless tributes that were made to this man on Facebook was in every instance, their messages were framed in resurrection language. I have no idea that these people were religious or not. I suspect they were not. I suspect they don't go to church. I know the neighborhood as I know it. There are no churches there. And people in Britain don't drive to church. They get a bus. So I don't think they're that religious. But every single tribute was framed in resurrection language. The language of hope. The awareness that in some way, although he has died, my old school friend Dave Shepherd lives on. This is God at work in our lives. This is resurrection. I know. There are people in this church today who are grieving. I know. Because I've grieved with them. There are people in many churches throughout this country and throughout the world who are experiencing grief and loss. Loss of a partner. Loss of a child. Loss of a friend. Loss of a job. A change in circumstances. Loss even of mobility. Grief and loss has many forms, and each involves a death of sorts. But as Chauncey the gardener observed in the film Being There, a garden is a mirror image of the cycle of life. First comes spring and summer. And then we have fall and winter, and then we get spring and summer again. Out of every death, there is the promise of new life. The story of the Passion of Jesus revolves around gardens. Gardens wherein all of life's complexity is laid bare for us to witness. Began in a garden of betrayal and denial and death. It ended in a garden of hope and new life. Not just for some, but for all of creation. There are people in this church today and in all the churches of Christendom who probably don't believe in God. What you need to know is that God believes in you. And God is always with you. And God is always embracing you. And God is always bringing resurrection moments to your life. This is why St. Peter could proclaim, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality." If we are willing to believe it, resurrection moments happening in our lives all the time. In moments of sadness as well as moments of joy. Which is why we can proclaim this Easter day. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. I pray you all a blessed Easter. Amen.
Let us stand together as a community of faith, professing our belief, using the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please join me for the prayers of the people found in your bulletin. In our diocesan cycle of prayer this morning, we pray for St. Andrews in York and St. Stephen's in Mount Carmel. We also pray for all Christians, Muslims, and Jews, and all people of faith throughout the world who are suffering persecution for their beliefs. In trust, we bring before God our hopes and fears, our wonder and confusion, our joys and sorrows, asking God's blessing on our lives and the life of the world. Let us pray. We pray for the Church, the family of Christ throughout the world, remembering particularly all the baptized who minister in this congregation and community. For the household of faith, we pray.
Be with us and bless us, O God.
For Justin, our Archbishop, for Michael, our presiding bishop, for Audrey, our own bishop, and for all bishops and other ministers, and for all the holy people of God, we pray to you, O Lord. We pray for our nation. Endow us with your grace and bring us to a more perfect union, embracing young and old, rich and poor, men, women, and children of all colors, cultures, and tongues. For our nation, we pray.
Be with us and guide us, O God.
We pray for all nations, peoples, and tribes throughout the world. In your compassion, lead us in the way of unity and peace, and bring us to that glorious liberty which is the birthright of all your children. For the welfare of the world, we pray.
Be with us and unite us, O God.
We pray for our neighbors in this community, at work, at school, and at play. Today we remember, especially in our parish cycle of prayer, Mike and Sandy Patrone, Tim and Lynn Peters, Kate Peterson, and Elaine Radcliffe. Help us, Lord, to be aware of those who are unemployed and without shelter, and give us compassion and determination to respond to their needs. For our community, we pray.
Be with us and help us, O God.
We pray for everyone whose body aches, whose heart is weary or frightened, whose mind is confused or cast down. Strengthen with your healing spirit all who suffer, especially remembering all of those listed in your bulletin and those you hold in your hearts. Lord, give us grace to be instruments of your peace. For all who suffer and struggle, we pray. We pray for all who have died. Draw them to your bosom in love and the new life of eternity with all your saints who have shown us how to live more fully the life of Christ. For all who have entered new life in Christ's resurrection, we pray.
Gave us grace to become your daughters and sons. Draw us together that we may live in the Spirit as the family of Christ, to ages of ages. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you. In thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will, and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. We give you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Good to see you all. I know there was some Easter cake at the 8 o'clock coffee hour, but I've no idea what's hanging out there for the rest of you. But if you have not have lunch organized, then you might want to grab a coffee and some fellowship. But if not, it's good to see you all. I wish you all a blessed Easter, and give yourself the rest of the day off. And just one quick announcement for the 8 o'clockers next Sunday, to let you know that there will be a baptism. Family coming all the way from Russia for a baptism here. It's wonderful. So actually, April and May, talk about resurrection. April and May, I think we have 3 baptisms, blessing of a marriage, and something else that I can't remember. And hopefully I will by the time it crops up. Good to see you all. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. Before we go into communion, it seems right to thank all those people who have made the services through Holy Week possible. I don't know how many of you appreciate the amount of work that goes in to making services like this. The choir and the organist have been practicing all week and attending services all week. The Altar Guild have been here all week changing the various vestments and hangings and so on. Acolytes and servers, people who make bulletins, who fold bulletins, a whole army of people who help Michelle produce the bulletins for the service. And we even have our own gardener who comes in and makes all the gardening arrangements. Enormous amount of work that goes in to make these services so meaningful, not only for themselves, but for you and for God. And so I thank you all for the work that you do. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with all your saints we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Hallelujah.
Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you and enfold you this day and always. Amen.
Do you